Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Teresa Jackson's How to Handle a Narcissist is a self-help and psychology guide focused on recognizing, understanding, and managing narcissistic personalities in everyday relationships, rather than treating narcissism only as a fixed clinical label. The book presents it as a range of traits that can appear in milder, socially rewarded forms, as well as in destructive, manipulative, and emotionally abusive patterns. Its purpose is practical to help readers identify narcissistic behavior in partners, relatives, friends, colleagues, and authority figures while protecting their own emotional stability, informed by clinical research and written for a general audience. The book combines explanation with coping strategies, especially around boundaries, reduced exposure, and resisting control tactics. It is positioned within the broader emotional abuse and narcissistic relationship recovery category. But its distinctive emphasis is on gradation. Readers are encouraged to assess severity, context, and risk before deciding how to respond. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, narcissism presented as a spectrum rather than a simple label. A central feature of the book is its treatment of narcissism as a range of personality patterns rather than a single all-or-nothing identity. Jackson distinguishes between milder forms of self-enhancement, such as confidence, ambition, and social assertiveness, and more damaging patterns associated with entitlement, lack of empathy, manipulation, and emotional exploitation. This framing matters because many readers arrive at the subject after painful experiences and may be tempted to classify every difficult person as a narcissist. The spectrum model encourages more careful observation. How often does the person disregard others? How do they react to criticism? And do they show genuine concern when their behavior causes harm? At the same time, the book's approach can be debated because some readers may see confidence and leadership as ordinary healthy traits rather than narcissistic ones. Its value lies less in redefining every positive self-regarding trait as narcissism and more in helping readers notice when self-focus becomes dominance, fragility, or abuse. Secondly, recognizing narcissistic behavior through patterns of control and emotional impact. The book emphasizes that identifying narcissistic personalities is not simply a matter of spotting vanity or arrogance. More important are repeated interaction patterns that leave others confused, diminished, or excessively responsible for the narcissistic person's feelings. Jackson directs attention toward behaviors such as blame shifting, superiority, emotional invalidation, attention seeking, and selective charm. These patterns are especially difficult to recognize because they may alternate with warmth, charisma, or apparent vulnerability. The practical reasoning is that narcissistic dynamics are best judged by their effects over time, whether the relationship narrows the reader's choices, erodes confidence, or creates persistent anxiety around displeasing the other person. This approach helps separate occasional selfishness from a more organized pattern of control. It also gives readers a way to evaluate situations without needing to diagnose someone clinically. The book's usefulness comes from translating abstract personality concepts into observable relational signals, making it more accessible for people dealing with partners, relatives, coworkers, or supervisors. Thirdly, boundary setting is the main protection against manipulation. A major practical lesson in how to handle a narcissist is that understanding narcissism is not enough unless it leads to firmer boundaries. Jackson presents boundaries as limits on access, emotional labor, conversation topics, time, and acceptable behavior. This is important because narcissistic individuals may test limits through guilt, flattery, anger, crisis creation, or persistent demands for attention. The book therefore treats boundaries not as abstract self-care language, but as repeated behavioral choices ending circular arguments, refusing to justify every decision, limiting disclosure, and reducing opportunities for escalation. The reasoning is that narcissistic control often depends on keeping the other person reactive. A clear limit interrupts that cycle by making the reader's response less available for manipulation. The book also acknowledges that boundaries must match the severity of the situation. In lower risk contexts, structured communication may help. In more harmful or abusive situations, minimizing contact or cutting ties may be necessary. This flexibility prevents the advice from becoming one size fits all. Fourthly, adapting responses according to what the narcissist finds threatening or rewarding. One of the more distinctive ideas associated with the book is that a reader can sometimes reduce conflict by understanding what the narcissistic person experiences as threatening, flattering, entertaining, or useful. This does not mean excusing harmful behavior or becoming inauthentic for the narcissist's benefit. Rather, it suggests that strategic awareness can make interactions less volatile, especially when complete avoidance is impossible. For example, a person dealing with a narcissistic coworker, parent, or former partner may need to communicate in ways that avoid unnecessary provocation while still protecting their own position. The underlying reasoning is that narcissistic personalities often react strongly to perceived humiliation, loss of status, or lack of admiration. Knowing this can help readers choose timing, tone, and level of disclosure more carefully. The limitation is ethical and emotional. Adapting oneself too much can slide into appeasement or self-erasure. Jackson's approach is most useful when treated as a tactical tool for constrained situations, not as a substitute for boundaries or accountability. Lastly, recovery requires reclaiming judgment after emotional abuse, beyond identifying narcissistic traits. The book addresses the reader's need to rebuild confidence in their own perception. Narcissistic relationships often involve confusion because the harmful person may deny events, minimize hurt, reverse blame, or present themselves as the victim. Over time, the targeted person may become uncertain about whether their reactions are reasonable. Jackson's guidance on resilience and reclaiming personal power responds to that erosion of judgment. Practical recovery involves recognizing manipulation patterns, reducing dependence on the narcissist's approval, and reconnecting with independent standards of what is respectful and acceptable. The book does not appear to frame recovery as a quick emotional transformation. Instead, it stresses protective choices that restore stability. This is especially relevant for readers emerging from gaslighting or chronic criticism, where the immediate problem is not only pain but distorted self-trust. By linking education with practical disengagement, the book places healing in the context of changed behavior, less exposure, clearer limits, and more confidence in one's own interpretation of events. In conclusion, How to Handle a Narcissist is best suited for readers who suspect that a relationship in their personal, family, social, or professional life is shaped by narcissistic behavior, but who do not necessarily need a dense clinical textbook. It offers practical benefits for people trying to name patterns, reduce emotional reactivity, and decide whether to manage, limit, or leave a difficult connection. Intellectually, its main benefit is the spectrum perspective, which encourages readers to think in degrees of severity rather than treating narcissism as a simple insult or fixed category. Practically, its value lies in translating that perspective into boundary setting, reduced exposure, and strategic communication, compared with many books in the narcissistic abuse genre. It stands out for giving attention to a range of narcissistic personalities, rather than focusing only on extreme or sensational cases. This makes it useful for ambiguous situations, such as workplaces, extended families, or relationships where the behavior is harmful but not always obvious. Its limitations are also part of its positioning. Readers seeking formal diagnosis, deep academic theory, or specialized trauma treatment will need additional resources. As an accessible guide, however, it provides a structured way to understand narcissistic dynamics and respond with more clarity. If you would like to support Teresa Jackson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.